Stay awake. Nine people yawned during the readings on this side. And that's why I'm glad the gospel ended with those words, because today we speak of salvation. And that's why it's important to stay awake. The word salvation, no matter how much you delve into theology, still does not excite very many people. No matter how much you might debate about ideas of what it means, it's simply another word, really, for healing, affirmation, and reconciliation. The very dimensions of life that we need most. The trouble is that so much of what we've heard about salvation has been taught to us in intellectual terms, in neat, tidy little boxes as a doctrine. And we have intellectualized the most important part of our lives. Stay awake and then try to realize that salvation is the healing, redeeming mystery in our life that really is a matter of our heart. It is a matter to be experienced. It is not a neat, tidy, little boxed-up doctrine. In reality, the church is a community of people that God intends to bring healing to this broken world. And we are that community, the church. Even if it is Christ who redeems the world and brings it back to the Father, it is through us that it is going to be done. We, through our flesh and blood, bring about the healing to this broken world. The living God, in a mysterious way, has planted deep down within the heart of each of us a wonderful, mysterious power to experience the mystery of salvation, of healing, of reconciling, of becoming a whole person. And that is why we are invited to stay awake each day, to be open to this mystery, to allow it to surface, to allow it to become flesh and blood in our spirit, in our heart, not just knowledge. Some years ago, I listened to an old wise lawyer in Coos Bay reflecting upon the major events of his life. And after he spoke about some of the happy episodes of his career, I asked him what was the most memorable event. And he was quiet for a while and then said, over the years, the one single event that has influenced my career more than any else was a terribly sad interview I had with a prospective client. One day, he said, soon after I began practice, a handsome, fashionably dressed woman came into my office, and from her appearance, I judged her to be about 25. I learned afterwards she already had been married for 5 years. She told me candidly she'd been sent to me by a clergyman friend of mine. And after some hesitation, she added that she was having trouble in her marriage. I supposed that as a visitor, she had come to me then for legal advice for her problem. And so I said, do you have any evidence then that you would like to give me for a divorce? Oh, no, sir, she replied, I do not want a divorce. Then I told her the grounds on which she could seek a legal separation. I don't want a separation, she said. At that point, I became puzzled. And I told her that I could bring action in domestic relations court to compel her husband to support her. But she said, I don't want that kind of support. I'm able to make more money than he can. At that point, he said, I was really exasperated, and I said to her, Madam, you don't want a divorce, you don't want a separation, you don't want your husband to contribute to your support. How am I able to advise you then if I don't know what you want? And he said, at that point, the tears began to run down her cheeks, and she stammered and faltered and said, I want him to love me. I want him to love me. There are so many persons in the world who need exactly and only that from you to stay awake and become aware of those people in your life who want only that, your attention, your concern, your love. You do not know the day the Lord is coming. The Lord comes every day, not the end of the world, not at the moment of your death, not the second coming. The appointed time is every day. Each day, today, is the time to sort out our priorities. Now is the appointed time to begin to become once more all over again the kind of attentive, caring person that God created you to become. Stay awake to the opportunity that presents itself to you. That is what Jesus says today. Every day is the day of opportunity, the day of the Lord's coming, when the Lord comes to you in people who need you and only you. There are only so many of us. In the midst of all the chaos and disaster in this broken world, there are only so many people who do have faith and hope to reflect to other people. That is God's gift to us, to come alive to the demands of justice, to take the weapons and turn them into plows, to transmit that knowledge of religion that we have in our heads, hidden away in boxes, to take what is stored in our heads and translate it into our heart, into flesh and blood. That is where the good news belongs. To translate our knowledge to the everyday, now experience, whether people need it every day. We move now into the beginning of Advent, the coming of the Lord. And somewhere between now and Christmas, what would happen if each one of us really chose to move more closely to becoming the kind of person that God made us to be? Less walls enclosing us, less masks worn. What would happen if in the next month each of us would become a little bit more of the kind of caring, feeling, loving person God intended us to be. To listen to the cries of the people. When a wife would like from a husband a little bit adult conversation, after she has listened all day long to children. To a husband who would like quiet after noise all day long. To a child who would like some attention rather than to be told just to go and watch television. A 19-year-old who would like some recognition that they might be a young adult. Parents who might wish to have some understanding from half-grown, hungry, sloppy teenage sons and daughters. Each one of us can make a list of people who come to us in their own particular kind of pain to give them the attention. The attention that they want and need. For how many people the next month is a season of horror? A season of horror because it is one of loneliness. Because all around us, the world has taken the season of Christmas and turned it into a secular holiday. And yet the symbols are there. They press in around people through the signs and the music. And that is why the suicide rate goes up in the next month. I assume that most of you here are able to look forward to a lovely, warm family celebration. And yet I think that each one of you here knows at least one person for whom this is going to be another season of loneliness and need. And horror. And each one of you knows some way in which you can touch that person. That's the meaning of salvation. To care, to touch, to heal, to reconcile, to put back together again, to stay awake, and see the opportunities when they present themselves. The experience to reflect in our own lives. The kind of healing that the Lord gives us. That's what it means to be a church. To reflect what God gives us and share it with other people who do not receive all the gifts that you do. That is how we are saved. That is how we are healed. That is how we become whole. We heal the world because we are church. We are sacrament. We walk in the healing light of the risen Christ. We bring about his coming.